shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined this week, as always, by Cody Wolf.
Pass.
Yeah, there's no... Here's why there's no catchphrases from this movie. You can't even understand the movie. Like, the audio is impossible.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. There should be no catchphrases here. Jack Estabrook?
Unless you want Omar Sharif to narrate how the podcast came to be, then I think that could be... a way we could understand.
We need
this
to
better.
Talk about that narration, that voiceover. We'll get into that too.
And so it came to pass that they began picking on movies.
Is that Omar Sharif?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I did look at the cast list. It is.
Wow. Okay. And Christy Smorrow.
I'm awful with the catchphrase intro, and I actually studied this time and had three ideas. Because I watched the movie with closed captioning on.
We're going to talk about that too, because I
considered
had to turn
it at one point. But.
It both adds to the how hilariously bad this movie is, and adds to your frustration level same time.
Yeah.
Well, because there's one point where the girl says something to him. It's pretty early on in the movie, and I listened to it like three times. I couldn't tell what she said, and I almost put the captioning on. But I was like, I'm not that invested in this to read as I.
I turn the captions
in your own
on.
Language.
Well, I turn the captions on probably. By the way, my notes for this movie are on my kid's construction paper, which feels fitting because I feel like the script for this movie might have been written on construction paper.
I was impressed with the size of your notes this week.
Yeah,
tabloid size.
Your kids' crafts might be some better effects in some cases too.
So. I would also agree with that. My kids' crafts are definitely more consistent than some of the effects are, even shot to shot. All right, so the movie this week is 10,000 BC,
yes.
The 2008 10,000 BC.
Yes.
I can't remember what year.
2008, not BC though.
Not BC. After death.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't remember what year the Raquel Welch version came out.
1960s, I think.
It's 60s. I remember seeing it as a kid.
I'd love to watch it just to do a comparison.
I remember it being like goofy, like in that 60s
way. That's the one where they
used
the lizards, like they actually used like iguanas, right?
Is this like a remake of that, or did it just happen to have the same
title? I think it's
just the same title.
Yeah, same title.
I was actually going to ask the same question, like are they on that same trek in the Raquel Welch version?
They're equally as historically inaccurate, I'll say that.
That's true.
That's not hard.
That's true, because Raquel Welch is wearing a ton of mascara as a caveman.
And isn't she wearing a fur bikini or something like that?
It's basically a bikini.
Basically.
Yeah.
That's okay. The dress that the girl in this one has at the end is just as historically accurate as a fur bikini.
Yeah. For fans of history, this movie really offers just a cornucopia of treats for you. Let's start off.
Or fans of geography, or fans of logic.
Yeah.
Or fans of movies.
Yeah. Fans of science, even. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It starts off with a Legendary Pictures logo, and this kind of was a reminder to me that, like, wow, we don't get a lot of flops from Legendary. I don't think they're, like, surefire, but I just was like, oh, yeah, they don't show up in a lot of bad movies. And then right off the bat, the movie starts with voiceover.
Which is always a bad sign for
always movies. A bad sign. Mm-hmm. Never
If they start with a shot of Earth and voiceover,
we would have it.
Well, all through the movie, they were narrating things that didn't need to be narrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all you could do is, like, spoiler alert at the end of the movie where they all, like, turn around and walk home. He says, and so they went on their journey in peace. And they turned around and walk away. And I'm like, why couldn't you just show the shot of them turning around and walking away? I'm not an idiot.
That was the best spoiler alert ever, too.
spoiler alert, they walk away in this movie.
They turn around and walk home.
Spoilers.
I'm convinced that the voiceover was a post-production
ad. It has to have been.
Because
Omar Sharif is not in the film whatsoever.
Yeah, I kept waiting to figure out who the voiceover would be.
Maybe it was a little boy, like they do that sometimes in movies, where I was the young boy. Like at the end of the movie, they reveal that the old man narrator was kind of like in The Name of the Rose
kind of deal. I was that saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
And it comes and goes. I mean, like, it starts off very heavy on voiceover. Voiceover will go away for like 30 minutes or more and then just like kind of randomly pop in at times.
Yeah.
I mean, it all feels like they, after the first screening, there was just an executive who's like, we need voiceover here and here.
Well, you need something over the shots of them walking.
Oh, yeah.
Those like travel montages.
I mean, there's less walking in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I was actually thinking there's more shots of walking in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, less distance traveled.
The Lord of the Rings trilogy does a much better job establishing geography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least when you see them walking, you're like, okay, I understand where they are coming from and going to, and...
The scenery's changing in a logical way.
Yeah.
The seasons are passing.
Yes.
Yeah.
None of that happened.
I had another issue with the voiceover, and I love Omar Sharif, but, and this is just a blanket statement for this movie, I had difficulty understanding what he was saying in the voiceover. I mean, that's really weird. Like, some of the dialogue was so awkwardly written that I was like, wait, what? What does that mean?
Yeah, I honestly didn't catch very much of the opening voiceover.
So there's some prophecy about some blue-eyed girl and, like, the cycle of life.
Yeah, it was convoluted.
There's like a flashback to, like, when her city was destroyed, but then that's actually a flash forward to the scene at the end of the movie. That was really confusing.
Well, we have another cue for, like, a great indicator the movie's going to be terrible. Cue generic prophecy of a future savior, which you're like, okay, got it.
Also, somewhere in here in the beginning scene, which I think it might be right after this flashback, is like the most understated opening title of any movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would agree.
I thought it was a time card at first, and then I was like, oh, wait, that's the movie title.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Why did they even put it there? Because it's like, and this girl came to the village, and everyone was worried, but then, oh, it's okay. There's a prophecy that she'll do good, and this boy met her and fell in love with her. 10,000 BC! So the next day, the boy was dragging a cart behind him, and I'm like, well, that's a rather... Oh, we forgot to put the title card in there.
Well, I think it was supposed to be like kind of a timestamp, too, because it was like that, it came when it jumped ahead.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, that was 10,023 BC. This is 10,000 BC.
I guarantee to like...
true.
Like non... filmmaking people that would have on paper I can see someone being like, ooh, that's clever, and like, but when you see it you're like, that's dumb.
No,
yeah, and confusing. Yeah.
Do you want some crayons, by the way?
I feel like my notes really should have been in crayons.
The ink should have been at least some sort of color, not black.
I should have written it with my left hand, you know, so it like
backwards
looked,
R's.
Yeah. So you've got this caveman, they're not cavemen, but like a tribe.
Yeah. Like this Cro-Magnon tribe of mammoth hunters. They speak perfect English, but for some reason the mammoth is called the Montauk or something.
Well, they speak perfect English with an accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Of some sort.
Yeah. I mean, no. Well,
the stunted
real
English,
accent,
like, but... I have the white spear, I control the tribe. And I'm like, okay, well, this would be cooler if they just made up a language and just had this all be subtitled.
Well, here's where this is a mess, because some characters in the movie are subtitled, some characters are not, some characters are speaking mystery languages. Like, they have taken the Pompeii problem of everyone brings their own accent and just brought it to a whole other level of like, no, just everyone try to figure out what anyone is saying. Good luck to all, you know?
Or at least just have, okay, so the main tribe speaks English because it's an American movie and they don't want the whole thing subtitled.
Okay.
Fine. Then just don't have them have an accent.
Right.
Just let them speak, you know, American English with no accent. And then when they meet other tribes, those other tribes speak foreign languages.
Sure.
But let's, you know...
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
But then some other tribes do also speak English, some don't.
Yeah.
And like, you're right. That I would have actually not been as frustrated if they'd been like, okay, your main character's speaking English, just give us that and then, you know, By the way, this has to be the only movie I've ever seen where like, how are some of these tribe members shaving? One guy.
He has
a goatee. Yeah. There's a caveman essentially with a goatee.
I thought that later on when they're all on the ships and they've been traveling for God knows how long and they're all like clean shaven and
yeah. I mean, even if you want to be like, okay, like clean shaven, but like, some guy with a sharp edge of a rock is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to weave a little on the chin. I'm going to weave a little muscle. Like,
and after walking for months and months, it still looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
This is a general problem that I have with movies like this. Like when characters are left in on an island or if they're like locked in a basement for like 3 months or something, like in a horror movie, they often don't have the correct amount of facial hair. And I know that's a stupid detail to gripe about, but here is a perfect example. as Cody says, oh, they're on ships for months and they're all clean shaven. Like they're on this, they're on this mission to save this girl and these kidnapped people, and they're going to fight. They're not worried about their looks. They're just going for it. Wouldn't they have like some beard growth?
Maybe we are misinterpreting what many moons means. That's maybe true. Each moon is just one day. Maybe. The moon at night. Maybe that's what it is. And therefore, they've only been walking for a week.
That's true.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, but I like that logic, and I'm going to buy it.
I feel like the hair and makeup department must have been just infuriated, because with their actual hair, they seem to be being like somewhat trying to be period, where they're kind of like...
Dreadlock-y.
It's not dreadlocks, but it's like, it's kind of like... So essentially it was like, okay, we're going realistic on top and then anything goes in the face region, you know?
Kind of a prehistoric version of a mullet.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And it drove me crazy too, because they do all, like each tribe has their own look. So this main tribe has, they all have the same hair.
Right.
Their faces look exactly the same. I don't know if anyone else had trouble distinguishing anybody's face.
Yeah. Yep. Especially in the hunt scene where they have, war paint on.
Yeah, they're all wearing the same clothes or, lack of clothes. So it's like, if there's three or four people in a scene where I didn't know who the main character was.
Well, they also don't invest in, the only characters this movie seems interested in investing in are, like, the main character. I call him DS in all my notes just for dipshit. Because, I mean, his stupidity is stunning. Right up until the end of the movie, this guy is arguably the antagonist of the movie. They care about him. They care about Cliff Curtis.
Tic-Tac.
He's in my notes as Tic-Tac.
I really didn't do that on purpose.
I thought they called him Wig Dick, and that just was like... Sorry, I know I went there, but I legit was like, wait, what? Like, I paused it. Wig Dick.
That...
I'm sorry, but that's legit what I thought he said.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So they care about those two.
Yeah.
In theory, they care about the girl, but they don't actually give the girl any development.
No, she's basically a damsel in distress from someone who is going to be the hero.
They don't really let her develop as a character. Right. And then, like, there's these other tribe members, but they don't, aside from this early rivalry scene that goes nowhere and is a storyline that is dropped.
Now, did that guy disappear or was he one of the characters?
He's the guy at the very end that does the sacrificial charge.
Okay. I thought maybe that was, but I literally couldn't.
Yeah, I lost track of him too. Yeah. I lost track of him too. I thought he stayed behind. See, I thought he was the guy that didn't want to come along.
There is some helpful elements of having the closed captioning on, because sometimes it would put his name up before what he said.
Because like Tic Tic was the only one who I did know because he looked slightly different than...
Well,
because
he was slightly older.
He's older.
Yeah, and he carries that white spear around wherever he goes.
And Cliff Curtis is a really good actor. Cliff Curtis is one of a couple actors in this movie who are... They're doing their best. Like he's trying to make lemonade out of lemons, and the movie is not helping him in any ways. Yeah. But
so basically, this girl comes to this tribe. The little boy has like a crush on her, and then time passes, and it implies they're in love. But he has to win her honor in a mammoth hunt, and it's the only way he can do it.
Yeah, he gets to like claim her if he wins the mammoth.
The prophecy said that whoever wins that mammoth hunt is the one that will be paired up with her.
Oh. Okay.
So they're really taking this prophecy literally.
It's so frustrating. It's like
there's a lot of prophecies.
And there's this subplot where like his father abandoned the village for no reason, and this is sort of like something he has to live up to.
We need to talk about this for a second. Because we see a scene where his father, when he's a young boy, leaves the village for reasons... At that point in the movie, unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Flash forward in the movie, still unknown. Mm-hmm. I still, to this moment, am not clear why the dad
left. Tic-Tic knows.
Yeah, he explains.
Because the dad says, like, don't tell anyone why I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But why would I... And it was shortly after the scene. It's, I think, dumb. It's when I turned on the closed captioning.
Yeah.
But what did he say? I missed it.
You mean when he finally tells him, like, why not?
Yeah.
It was basically because... What exactly was it? He leaves to somehow... I don't know.
He left to find...
I understand why he didn't want him to know. I don't know exactly what he left for.
He basically left to find, like, cultivatable land so that they wouldn't have to depend on hunting.
Okay.
But didn't want the hunters that follow him to like the hunters that follow him metaphorically to follow him literally. Physically and yeah. literally and abandon
yeah.
the village. So he was trying to, you know, save the village from going hungry, but didn't want to tell anyone because he didn't want all the hunters to leave the village.
Yeah,
because
he had the white spear, so he didn't want them to all leave with him. And yeah.
Okay. You're still yeah, that's, dumb.
That, yeah, oh yeah, like, that's the reaction.
So he went to find agriculture.
Deserves. Yeah, so basically. He was a hunter who was interested okay, in becoming a farmer. A
well, the yeah. seeds make sense. He said your father wanted to give you these.
Except for
I guess.
Fact that they live on top of the Himalayas. Where are they going to plant these seeds?
Yeah, where are they? And also, like, he had a young son. He was just like.
Well,
and there's no mother character.
Yeah.
The mother died, we yeah, find okay. out.
Yeah, he says that.
A long time later.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess I just didn't care enough to pay attention
that's
to that.
That's really dumb.
Well, Tick-Tick says that when he saw him in the story. He's like, after your mother died,
oh,
your father
right.
did this.
Okay.
Okay, well,
anyway,
so we're
at the
yeah.
Mammoth Hunt scene,
okay,
right?
Mammoth Hunt. So, yeah, whoever...
Just to move us along. There's so much to talk about.
Well, okay,
this
so,
podcast
yeah.
is going about as well chronologically as the movie.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
So this is where, yeah, it jumps ahead to 10,000 BC. And, and they're doing this, what they keep calling the last hunt. I don't know why they keep... Why is the last hunt? I think
because
they explained it in the...
Because in the prophecy, they'll go on this hunt, and then after that, they will find the land that will okay. keep them from going hunting.
I really wasn't paying attention during the voiceover, so I didn't know what
this
happening.
Is what I'm assuming the logic is. I could be very wrong.
Okay. Well, and just to throw
I assume that this was just tribal. Like, this was just, we need to find a new, like Tic-Tac is not a good enough leader, so we have to find the new leader. Because he's not really the leader, because...
He's like an interim.
DS gave him his spear. DS's dad gave him his spear.
DS Senior.
Yeah. DS Senior. And then said, I'm gonna go find agriculture, so you're in charge. And I think now that the kid is grown up, he's the one who's supposed to take the spear, almost like a stewardship position where Tic-Tac's going to pass the spear on. But because nobody likes DS, because DS's daddy left, now he has to prove himself instead.
So the way I saw it was that they take this prophecy like word for word, yeah. super literally.
Yes.
Okay. So old mother said, old mother said there will be a last hunt, and the hero that emerges from this last hunt will get the girl and will save us all. And so old mother says this is the last hunt. So now whoever, now this is the one where somebody new is going to get the white spear, and whoever gets the white spear gets the girl, and this person will save us all. So. I mean, they take this prophecy like it's not, you know, maybe someday something will happen. It's
right.
today this will happen.
The prophecy is being fulfilled today.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Which, again, lazy screenwriting because it just chalks everything up to the prophecy. Yeah. And like,
sure.
Yeah. So we see this mammoth hunt, which I have a note. I literally have asterisks around this in my notes. At times.
I thought those were stickers.
Those were, and a Daniel Tiger sticker. Yeah. At times, this sequence as... pure action movie making is functional. Like, this sequence is, like, at times, it's one of the only compliments I think I can pay this movie.
Yeah. Well, I just want to mention, Chris and I were talking before you guys got here, the CG and the green screen, especially in this early part of this movie, and especially during this mammoth hunt,
looks like
horrid.
Yeah.
Well,
awful.
Yeah, it's I compare it to the Peter Jackson King Kong, where they're chasing, or they're in like the dinosaur stampede.
Yeah,
and it's like that bad. The mixture of CG and the green screen with these characters.
You can tell that the actors and the mammoths. I mean, no one would ever think they were inhibiting the same space.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's the same problem with like King Kong that you can just tell like, oh no, no one's reacting properly.
It's just bad.
So they kind of are able to corral one mammoth in a net, and then the net breaks free, and like all the tribe are falling off of it, and eventually it's just DS and the mammoth, and he tries to kill the mammoth, and then the mammoth basically commits suicide by like running into a spear, which Tic-Tac sees. And is like, you know, Tic-Tac's reaction is like one of the great shots in this movie where he's like, what are you going to do? You know?
It's well, like, the theme of this movie is DS falling into these prophecies, basically.
Yeah.
So the only reason he was alone with the mammoth was because his hand got caught in the net. He wasn't, it was not because he was brave enough to chase after the mammoth, it's because he got caught.
Right.
And then the mammoth basically killed itself on his spear. And so he's fulfilled his prophecy, but he doesn't feel like he's actually fulfilled the prophecy. But he doesn't want to admit it because he wants the girl.
Yeah.
So, but, and Tic-Tac knows this, that he didn't fulfill the prophecy because he saw it.
But Tic-Tac is like, I guess. Yeah. You know? Like,
someone has to do it.
Like, you kind of won this white spear in a technicality.
It's a paper champion.
Yeah. So, okay, so he takes the white spear, but he's also, like, feeling guilty about it, and he goes to give the white spear back to Tic-Tac, and then has to say to his lady friend, like, oh, I'm not really that brave. I tried to let go of the net, and I was stuck, and I put my spear down, and a mammoth ran into it.
At least he's honest.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? I will say that. DS is very honest in this movie. Yeah. He's an idiot, but he's very honest.
Yes.
And this is where I couldn't understand what she said to him, because he admits this to her, and then she's just like, shasha. And then she like walks away. And
you
like,
gave me up.
Is that what I watched it like 3 times. I didn't know what she said.
Yeah, I okay. I'm actually glad Christy said that too, because I was like, what's going on? Because
then this, I think, like, puts the seed of guilt in him that, oh my God, I gave her up, and now when she's kidnapped, I can't give her up again. I have to go save her. I can't abandon her again, because she's already making him feel guilty for telling the truth.
Okay, because then there's a raid by another tribe who are on horseback.
The demons on four legs.
Demons on four legs, and they come take a lot of their meat. There's a couple of shots of them like taking the mammoth meat.
So those were the demons on four legs?
I believe so.
The horses. Thought they were talking about the mammoths when they said demons on four legs.
No, they were talking about the horses.
So they kept talking about these. So in my head, the mammoths had killed this girl's tribe because
I thought the slavers killed her tribe. And then she came to them, and then the slavers came and took her. And again, there was like a flashback to when her tribe was killed, which is actually a flash forward to events that happened in the final scene of the movie.
At the end of the day, that's moot, because it really doesn't matter.
It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Her backstory doesn't matter at all.
Not really, no.
She's just there.
She's other.
Yeah. She's there to be the damsel.
She's a white girl, so they have to go save her.
Well, in fact, I would even go as far as say this movie would have been stronger if she had no backstory. Like, and she was kind of a mystery character.
I thought she was going to be more of that mystery sort of weird prophecy character. I don't know, because they set her up in that, like, oh, she's a girl with the blue eyes, and she's kind of mysterious, and it's like the rest of the movie, she's just the girl they're chasing after.
Yeah, she's just allowed to be pretty, and they don't let her do anything else. Yeah.
It's like I thought that might have been an interesting thing, but they didn't go with it.
Yeah.
MacGuffin.
So now DS is like, well, all right, I got to go after these slavers. And TikTok is like, I'm going to, and
third name so far.
and a couple other guys, and I think actually like TikTok is like, hey, you guys are coming too, and a couple other tribes guys are like, oh, geez, all right. Like, I don't think they were happy about it, weren't they?
Well, I think at this point, I think some still weren't convinced about DS.
Oh, with good reason.
Yeah. Because they still had that. Because his father had, like, shame. He's carrying the shame of his father or something, you know, that basically. And
yeah.
So I think at this point, they still weren't into him.
Yeah, and no one else gets the explanation of why suddenly Tic Tac has the spear again.
Right.
Oh, like, true.
They don't tell anybody what happened.
Yeah. You're right. I think they never do.
Like, one of the
guy
asks, like, later on, doesn't he? He's like, why'd you get the spear back? And Tic Tac's like, just go to sleep.
I think you're right. Yeah that was.
That was, like, the only. Yeah.
Yeah. So we now go into, like, 5 minutes of... At first, I was like, boy, a lot of these shots look very similar to Lord of the Rings. And then a couple of them, I'm like, oh, no, these are literally shots. Like they must have... you could put Lord of the Rings on one monitor and be like, that's the exact shot from Lord of the Rings. Like, there's...
just walking, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the exact same, like...
and dots. Walking.
Yeah. I wouldn't... if you told me they shot some of it in New Zealand and used the same crew, I would believe you. I mean, I was like, okay. I mean, they're both from Warner Brothers, so I guess no one's going to sue anybody, but it was pretty jarring.
I actually did look at the IMDb trivia this time, and apparently there was a New Zealand or Southern New Zealand, something like that, official who got into a car crash while trying... to like do a tour to tempt them to come shoot in his area.
Oh.
So it may have been somewhere in New Zealand.
That's
I didn't look at where they shot.
Did he die?
No, he like broke his wrist or broke his arm or something like that.
Because if you're going to tell me a guy died, I would have been, that would have been really depressing. Okay.
It would have been of all the movies to give your life for.
Yeah. Wow. So they're going after them.
Can I say right now, I just wanted to say, there's this other character that we're introduced to who's this...
Oh, the kid, you mean?
The kid, but also there's the slaver guy who they like pitched his voice down.
Yeah, I was wondering why he's talking.
I couldn't figure out if he was speaking
and it's like clearly they took the actor's voice and pitched it down to make him seem more menacing.
Yeah.
Even though he's a more sympathetic character as the film goes on. He's a bastard, don't get me wrong, but of all the other characters, he's really nice to the girl, and he's kind of, for his own reasons.
He's got some ulterior motives,
but he's a little more sympathetic to the
slavers go, sure, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
But they give him this deeper voice where they clearly pitched him down.
Like a Freddy Krueger voice.
It doesn't seem like a human voice. No. He's just speaking like animal grunts.
Yeah.
And one note I had about these slavers, are those like metal shackles with keys? Although I guess once you get to the end of the movie, you realize they've got some technology behind them, but...
I did look... Yeah, well, the idea of chains and,
this
like,
clearly
metal...
doesn't take place in 10,000 BC.
No.
For many reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I did notice that, too. I was like, wait a minute. Like, how are they mass-producing chains?
Because I think the closed captioning actually said shackles clanking.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, and there's like, he's turning a key in the lock. I'm like, this is not 10,000 BC.
So now DS and his friends are going after the slavers. And the geography of this, we were talking about this off mic, gets real crazy. First of all, they never seem to be able to catch up, even though DS and his friends, it's like seven guys who are all young and moving fast. The slavers have people in shackles moving at a trudging pace. It seems impossible that they wouldn't catch up to them within, like, I don't know, 5 hours?
Well, also, in the rainforest, they hear the same animal attack.
Yes.
Like, they're listening to the actual same attack going on. So they're only, you know, a couple dozen feet away from each other.
Right.
Yeah. And they're doing this thing where, like, at one point early in the movie, the girl has some, like, necklace or something with some bones on it or something like that.
Because DS made it for her.
Yeah. And so through this section of the movie, like, she's taking pieces of it and, like, dropping, like, breadcrumbs. But she's dropping, like, they're finding them, like, in the snow. It's like these white pieces of bone, and they just happen to find this tiny little bone, like, in the snow. And they're like, oh, she just went that way.
Yeah.
Like, and they even say that when the white rains fall, quote unquote, that's what our narrator says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This, it covers up the tracks, and they have trouble finding them.
But they can find a little.
But white they can bones. Find a little white bone lying in the snow. Right.
The world of this movie is like a map from like Red Dead Redemption, where you can have like snow and desert within like a 15-minute walk.
Well, and then so they discover she has this necklace, and they like take it from her and like leave it behind, and then they find it, and he's like, you know, he feels like all hope's lost now or something because you know she. They don't have that breadcrumbs to follow. Right. Then, like, 2 seconds later, they just catch up to him.
Yeah, they're just, like, right there.
It's like, oh, they're
there.
We
did forget one very important point about them discovering that she's been... About the slavers discovering that she's been leaving these breadcrumbs is they whip her hands.
Now, they whip her hands with metal. Like, 47 times.
That's where those scars came from. I forgot that.
The flesh on her hands would be flayed to the bone, promise you. That was a brutal attack.
Yeah.
Yet
and she's
in
got
the movie,
tiny little
she only has,
dots
She's
of
got
stars.
The specifically placed... Yeah. Constellation of Orion scar.
That's so interesting.
I didn't make that connection.
I never made that connection until right now.
Yeah, there's blood on it because they find out and whip her hands, but it's not like a piece of leather. Yeah. It's like metal spikes. And it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it keeps going. And she's literally just going, like she's taking it like a champ. And in real life, I don't think she'd have hands left given that level of brutality, which is off camera. Yeah. So obviously the mind fills in the gaps. They
show,
do one close up of like
the
blood.
They do one close up and she's got like one line of blood on her hands.
Like they squirted some sriracha on her.
Yeah. So now, as you're saying, they're now in a jungle.
Yeah, they finally catch up to him and they see her there. And I think DS is like, okay, let's get her. And then Tick Tick's like, no, not tonight.
Well, and Tick Tick's also like, let's come up with a plan. Like, let's organize this a little bit. Let's think this through.
Well, they just traveled from the Himalayas to the rainforest a week, so.
Potentially, the timeline is also nuts. This movie
at least
could
six
have,
moons.
Five Thor's beards, as we would say. and so at some point, this is where DS, once again, is just like, yep, no, Tic Tac, that makes sense. And then at some point he's like, nah, I'm just going to go in now anyway. And, you know, he sees, like, because there's, like, a main slaver and then, like, a second slaver who's a real jerk.
He's, like, the main boss.
Yeah. And he's kind of, like, getting a little rapey, getting a little gross.
No, yeah. he's about to.
Oh, yeah. He's,
so Diaz is like, all right, I'm stepping in.
Yeah.
Which then just causes all kinds of pandemonium to break loose. And even when they have, I think, that guy knocked out, DS isn't just like, oh, we just got to get out of here. It's just sort of like, you know, time for exposition and talking and, you know.
For as little dialogue as there is in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's too much. So things go crazy. Is this where the giant pigeon comes in?
Yeah, I stopped paying attention during these scenes. Whenever there's some big animal was attacking, I just stopped paying attention. But at some point, yeah, these big pigeons or birds or whatever.
They're giant pigeons. And I had a note, I'm like...
At first, they specifically only attack the bad guys.
Right.
And then they start trying to attack the good guys.
And I have a note, I'm like, oh, Cliff Curtis is killed by a weird flightless bird. And I'm like,
massive.
That's a terrible, like, that a great actor was killed by a flightless bird in a terrible movie. And I'm like, what a sad death.
Nope.
It turns out he didn't die.
Yeah. No, he only got, like, bit on the leg.
Yeah. Bit on the leg. And
he was just being a huge baby about it.
Yeah. He was really. Yeah. Well, I will go to my grave believing that Cliff Curtis was like, guys, I'm not going out like this. Like, keep me in the movie for another 2 weeks. I mean, I'm not, this is not my death scene. Yeah. You know,
I'm not kidding. I literally, like, zoned out during this stuff. But at one point, because there's just like this little kid, not a little kid, but he's like a teenager, follows them at one point. Like they realize to follow. Okay, which reminded me of like Night of the Witch when the guy was following, or wasn't it?
Season of the Witch. You're right. Yeah.
When, like the guy is following him. He's like, oh, I want to help too.
It happens a lot.
Same kind of thing. Yeah. So, but he's there and he's like fighting this giant bird and he's like in a nest. And it reminded me of After Earth when he's fighting the giant bird and he's like in a nest and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. But so they vanquish these birds or whatever. And yeah, Tick-Tick's like on the ground, like dying, and he's like, "Oh, you know, I'm not gonna leave you here, or whatever." So he's like dragging him through the desert for the next four moons or whatever. and then like, well, a scene happens we'll talk about, but then he comes back from this scene and Tick-Tick's just fine. He's just like standing there, he's like, "Oh, I thought you were dead," and he's like, "No, I'm here, I'm fine."
Yeah, he's
and
like, no, "I'm good."
He's,
I'm good.
The rest of his time in the movie, he's fine.
And also another note about the weird geography of this movie: he kills the bird with bamboo.
Yes.
Yes.
So they got to be in China.
I remember,
full disclosure, when this movie was new, I saw it in the theater, and I hadn't seen it since. There's a lot I forgot, but the main two things that I remembered
was... How many animals he stabs with spears.
Yes. Was the impossibility of how they could have gotten from where they started in terms of geography to where they end up. And the bamboo was a big sticking point for me.
Yeah.
Was, wait, now we're in China? Like, I remember thinking that when I saw it. And the other was, of course, where they end up. Which I suppose I'll wait for. The big spoiler alert.
You already spoiled one giant plot point.
Yeah. So for now, it's back to... Essentially, like back to the death march for the slaveys.
Well, they encounter the bone chins at some point, don't they?
Well, first first DS falls into like a, he's like running from something and falls into a pit.
Yeah, where in the world did this thing come? This is an elaborate.
It's like a trap.
Man-made trap.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's
it's like a giant trap. Hole. And he falls in the saber-tooth tiger trap.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But there's never any. Hint of that any kind of tribe nearby that would have done this or anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie, I think it wants us to believe that it was the African tribe that built this, but
the ones who he runs into next?
The ones he runs into next.
They're in the desert.
They're in the desert. Yeah, this really doesn't.
But he comes out of the hole, because so this whole thing happens. He comes out of the hole, he finds Tick-Tick, who's fine, and that's when they see the camp.
Oh, that's true, because Tick-Tick is somehow in the desert when he's in the rainforest.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're adjacent to each other.
This is like the old video games with the square maps, and you move from one square to the next, and everything changes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he falls in this pit, and he, like, passes out, and then it starts raining, and the whole pit starts filling with water, and he wakes up, finally, and there's, like, a saber-toothed tiger that's, like, stuck under a branch or under some like a spear, and he's like about to drown. So instead of killing him or letting him die, he saves the saber-toothed tiger,
right? And I don't say, we like to joke on the show and we kind of paraphrase lines and I'm going to be like, oh, he says to saber-toothed tiger, do not eat me. No, he literally says to a saber-toothed tiger, do not eat me.
Yeah, don't eat me after I set you free.
Yeah.
So he sets it free.
Why would he?
It leaves.
Why would he? Like, and I'm asking this not for like comedic value.
He has to fulfill the prophecy.
Yeah, why would he? Is that part of the prophecy?
It's part of the next prophecy.
He has to talk because well, but when they encounter the African tribe.
The second of three.
Well, I guess I'm asking though, because he doesn't know it's a prophecy. Why in his mind would he be like?
Because he's compassionate.
But it's a saber-toothed tiger.
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense because at first
even
I'm
earlier
like,
in the film, there's no scene where he's like, "Come on, guys, don't we really need to kill these mammoths?" Like, there's nothing that shows that.
Yeah,
he's compassionate to animals. He's literally just, "Look, I'm here to survive. I'm sorry."
He's a hunter, and I'm like, because at first I was like, "Well, maybe they're saying that he can't get out, so he's like, well, maybe the tiger and I can work together to get out." But that's not what happens.
Nope.
The tiger is just like, I'm out of here.
Yep.
And then he's just like, oh, I guess I'll just climb out on my own.
Well,
so
whatever he did to free the tiger moved a branch
to allow
that
him
he
escape.
Could climb up.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he didn't, so but he didn't know that
he didn't
when
know
he rescued
that.
The tiger.
Yeah. Yeah, when he rescued the tiger, there was no advantage to him. It was just like, oh, a hungry tiger is now in this confined space with me. Okay, yeah, it was just...
The tiger really listened, dumb. Though, and did not
it
eat
did.
Him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just want to say the CGI on the tiger was horrid.
Oh, it's horrible.
Horrible.
Really? Well, and it's better in the pit than in the desert scene.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, because they're cutting back and forth.
Yeah.
When the creature's on the screen alone, it actually looks pretty good. It's when it's, in my opinion, for the time, when it interacts with other people is when it looks bad.
Right.
Yeah, that's
when it
true.
Interacts with reality is when the effects
are
unsellable.
Plus, in the pit, it was night and dark. And yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So he gets out of the pit, and he goes back to where Tick-Tick was, and he sees, you know, Tick-Tick's, like, looking over a hill or whatever, and he sees, like, smoke rising from, like, a village. And so they decide to explore, to see what's up.
To go into the village.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think we forgot to say that the slavers now have everyone they were traveling with.
Yeah, that's right. Even their friends.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Even those guys.
So they more of their party.
Yeah. Those guys who are already like, I don't think DS is going to be a good leader, are now like, and we're slaves.
Yeah, because I left. So backing up before the bird attack, or during the bird attack, I don't even know. He's like, he rescues the girl, and he's like, I'm never going to leave you again, or I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And she immediately gets captured again.
Yeah.
Along with the rest of his gang.
Yes.
It's like, so Titanic, I'll never leave you. Hang on, I'll be right back.
Right.
Yeah.
So now they're all with the slavers. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Things have gotten worse under DS's leadership.
he's with Tick-Tick, who he had to drag through the desert for a few days.
Yep.
So they go to this little village or whatever, and... it's like in ruins or whatever. I don't know if the slavers hit it or whatever.
I think that's implied.
Yeah. Yeah, because they steal the one guy's son.
Yeah.
So so they're like eating some food that they find, and all the villagers come out and are like gonna, you know, they like ambush him. They're in a Mexican standoff basically. And the saber-toothed tiger comes in again.
In a crazy way. And I'm like,
yeah.
Why? I'm like, why is this tiger coming back in? And the tiger is basically just kind of like goes up to DS and is like, hey.
Just want to say thanks again.
you're cool. And then runs off.
I'm sorry I left you in that pit after you saved my life.
Yeah. And we find out there is not, DS is not, there's not just one prophecy writing this screenplay. The African tribe also has a prophecy that is also about DS.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, we have a prophecy about a guy who has a positive interaction with a saber-toothed tiger.
It's literally on a rock drawn a picture of a tiger and a saber-toothed tiger and a guy.
So crazy.
Yeah, just like the scene where that you just saw. And they're
this
like,
oh,
this is the guy who speaks to spear tooth, they say.
Yeah.
So he's the prophecy. He's going to lead us to save our people. I can't remember what it was.
So is this a cinematic first where someone is part of two separate prophecies?
Well, he becomes a third one later on.
Yeah, he's part of... He's part of a third prophecy.
Yeah.
This movie should
it's just
screenplay by
dipshit
prophecies.
This dipshit falls into prophecies left and right. Well, yes, of course I am your...
And this is savior. Where Tic-Tac tells DS about his father, which I couldn't understand a lot of the scene except for... Or after this scene... Where I do have the sign or the line where a DS says to Tic Tac, Why are you telling me this now? I was like, that's a great, you know what? That's a great question.
Well, he finds out that his father had also come across this tribe and he had helped them out in some way.
That's because they meet a tribe who just happens to have someone who speaks perfect English.
Yes.
So in that world...
And they spend a lot of time asking him how he knows English, too. They ask him like three times.
Yeah.
Like,
let's just clarify that if this is the case, in the world of this movie, D.S. Sr. traveled from wherever, the Himalayas, their mountain region, to a rainforest.
Yes.
He was interested in agriculture, and he's like, I'm going
to
keep going.
I
like this rainforest. Cool. I'm going to keep going. This is not, you know, the probably best agricultural environment I'm ever going to find. Yes. Let's see what else is out there.
And he taught that guy English and then he died.
Good Lord. Yeah, he is really his father's son. So they're now instant best friends with this tribe.
Yeah.
I also have to say, I liked the actor who played the leader of this tribe,
sure.
who I thought was doing the most with nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they give that character nothing.
He's just a translator.
That's all he is. That's all they let him do. And that guy
still... Why not have him narrate the movie?
Sure.
That would have made sense.
Yeah. He still brings a little personality to it. Yeah.
And in a movie that's not afraid to show, like, traveling and walking and all this stuff, instead of showing them, like, going to each tribe, because there's all these other tribes that they, are, I guess, are part of this, wherever they are.
Yeah.
And so instead of them going to each one and trying to convince them to join them to help out, they have, like, a tribe summit, like, in the middle of the desert where they all just arrive at the same time. There's, like, five different tribes. They're like, hey, you guys want to join our thing? And they're like...
With a voiceover to explain each tribe.
That's right, yes.
And the other tribes seem... Some of them are just like, no, we're all in.
Yeah.
Like, who's this guy? I've never seen him before. He is our leader now.
Well, yeah. And the way they convince... Because there's, like, the one guy who... His tribe seems to be, like, the... toughest or something. I don't know. They have some importance. But the guy's like, basically he's like, I'm not following you. You're too young. And he's like, tell him I'm older than I look. And he's like, okay, we'll follow you now.
that guy literally is like, that's a pretty good line. It's the first recorded use of that line.
Except it doesn't even get translated because translator guy goes, these guys don't laugh.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
We're in.
This movie did do some weird things with trying to be funny sometimes. Like that, there was that spot. There was a spot with the girl and one of the guys from the Merry Band of Travelers that got kidnapped when she was like, DS will be back for us. And the other guy he'll save us. And the other guy just raises up his shackled hands.
She said like, oh, he tried to help us. And he's like, no.
This is what happened when he tried to help us.
Yeah. As a viewer of the movie, I did laugh at that bit. So now they get stymied because the slavers have boats. They have quite a bit of technology.
They keep saying like something about giant birds or something, and then you see what they're talking about, and they're just boats with
and the sails.
Yeah,
it's
like sails. Why not? Yeah,
they're pretty elaborate.
They
though,
are
too, which is what really like. Again, I don't know why we're even like saying this movie should be accurate to 10,000 BC, but I'm like. That is a boat from... That is not even a BC era boat.
Alien technology.
Yeah, well, I love that reference when it comes in.
Oh, God.
And so they're just like... So they're like, okay. And one of the other tribes is like, well, we're really screwed because where they're going, there's just a huge desert between us and them. And DS is like, all right, we're going to cross the desert.
I don't understand... Like, why not just follow the river?
I didn't understand that. I don't know why they wouldn't just follow the river. Because then DS is like, nope, we're crossing the desert. And one of the other friends is like, do you have a plan to do that? And DS is like, no, I do not.
Because then the other guy's like, no one's ever been able to do it.
The only thing I can think of, and again, I'm trying to add my own logic to the movie, is that if they follow the river, they're always behind. They'll never catch up. Whereas if they can like
get a off shortcut the pass by going the opposite direction,
but when you have that option and the other option is like impossible and no one's ever done it before,
adding logic,
you're already
is
behind the
not,
whole time.
But and I'm going to give this. I think Christy's right because that was what I was going to say to them. Is I'm like, okay, their theory is they're going to try to cut, you know, by essentially doing a land crossing.
That's what I
off.
Figured, but
like maybe the,
but
maybe then the river does like this.
What
and
you can't see is
that like
Jack
that.
Is making his U shape with his fingers.
Yes.
Yeah,
because the guy does say it's like a snake. So it does like curve whatever, but it's like still that's the clearest option you have right now is just to follow this river They're boats, they're not moving that quickly. I mean, they've been running the whole movie right after the boats.
Exactly, because I'm like, well, they really should. But I'm like, well, maybe DS has like, okay, they have a plan to navigate. But no, they are in the middle of the desert when DS learns to navigate.
Right. Because he finally figures out like the riddle that the one guy told him.
Yeah, which I don't think is really a riddle. Like, I don't think it was meant to be a riddle. It's just that that's what they see. And hey, there's the North Star.
It's just common. Yeah, you're right. It's just common sense.
But he doesn't figure it out until, like you said, like some people have already died because they're trekking through the desert. And
people died due to his stupidity. Lips are all white because they're dry. Yeah. In the middle of the desert, he's like, oh yeah, we should find a way so we don't are walking in one direction. So dumb. My God. I have a note here. I'm like, why not follow the river? This DS is a dick.
I don't care who dies. I'm going to get my girlfriend back.
So now it's kind of the big reveal of where they're going. Because when I saw, I was like, oh my God,
are you serious?
Yeah.
This is where I, in the movie, this is in the theater where I checked out.
So
checked out
the first time I checked out. Well, because I was wondering where they were going with it. And then when they were going where they had been before, I was like, okay.
Yeah,
it just didn't seem necessary to me. I was like, why?
Because they had all the costumes left over from Stargate.
So
I was like, oh wait, it's Egypt. Oh wait, it's aliens in Egypt. God damn it! And that was it. I literally said that in the theater, and I stopped. Like I finished watching the movie, but that was it. I was like, okay, I'm done, because they had done that before. It's not 10,000 BC, and I'm tired of these Egypt movies.
Well,
they do something different.
They do leave it open that maybe they're from Atlantis.
Maybe they are, which I will give them that.
Because we have to kind of talk about this. So they're building a pyramid. The slavers are recruiting people to build a pyramid.
They're bringing slaves to build a pyramid, but...
And they kind of like, they try to not only have their cake and eat it too. It's like they're trying to have like 7 cakes and like... only eat 5 of them. I don't know. Like they're
actually they needed like a big set piece for the end action sequence.
I think that's what it is. Well, and the whole alien thing. So at one point, this is one of the only distinguishable. You know what?
Volcanoes exploding. And
you know what? That would have been that
just as historically accurate.
Yeah, keep yourself like running through the streets and
that would have been a better way to end it. So one of the like slaves has like this throwaway line where, because they're talking about who this is being built for, and someone goes, "Some say they come from the stars," and I'm like, "Oh God!" All right. We just got to shout out to ancient aliens, you know, and okay, and then you kind of see.
Well, it's some say they come from the stars. Others say they sailed here when their city sank into the sea. So that's, you can either think that they're aliens or they're from Atlantis.
Yeah.
There's never an explanation.
Or they're just Egyptians.
That's what I figured.
Not when the veil comes off.
They're just Egyptians.
Yeah.
Unless it's gods of Egypt.
Right. Okay. Yes, it's gods of Egypt.
That's right. Because it's definitely like something, because what they show you is this, like, they call it the slavers and the people working for it call it a god, but it's like, it has to be like 10 feet tall, Almighty. Right? Or they call it the Almighty. Yeah. It's like 10 feet tall, right?
He's like 8 feet tall, right? I didn't measure it. It's like Xerxes in...
They don't really commit to this.
They don't really commit to anything.
He has like a really tall hat, too.
Yeah, he's covered in a veil the whole time. You don't know if the veil is actually at the top of his head or if he has a 4-foot hat.
The bit at the end of the movie where they defeat him, spoilers, implies that maybe it was like a trick, which I kind of appreciated.
Well,
wherein, you know, maybe an extra tall hat, the veil, the really long fingernails, being surrounded by, you know, children who are smaller. This is, of course, all stuff that they did in Stargate, but whatever. But this lends to the illusion that this is some kind of a larger being than it actually is.
Well, then, you know, jumping ahead to when they do defeat him and he rolls down the stairs and some of the veil comes off, you see, like, nose and chin of, like, an old white guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know there'd be some reveal to
oh, that's actually his father or some like he was supposed to be somebody, but it was just like, oh, it's just okay. I figured it was a human being.
Yeah.
Well, and they made reference at one point to there used to be 3 of them. This is the only one left. Like, I feel like there was some really not well built, but much more complex mythology that was supposed to be behind this that they just cut out.
Right. Right, or that they gave up on.
Yeah.
They more walking shots, so.
This is where I do want to say, I got so frustrated at this point. This is where I turned on subtitles. Because I was struggling. And I'm not against watching movies with closed captioning on. I'm not mocking it.
Well, you're getting older now, so.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm getting up there. Yeah. But the subtitles, and Christy, I think you agree with me, became more frustrating. Here's the first three closed captionings that came up. One was said, quote, speaks foreign language.
Yep.
Which I'm like, I know. That's why I'm watching closed captioning. What is he saying?
Well, I actually was.
Some of it there was no subtitles to.
Way back, because I watched the vast majority of the movie with closed captioning on. And when the slavers, like one of the first appearances of the slavers, it says, speaks foreign language, but then what he said. And I was like, wait. Am I supposed to know what he said, or is that just giving me like subtitles of what he said because I have closed captioning on?
But well, or then subtitles just in the without closed captioning of what they're saying. But then there weren't for some.
Yeah, sometimes foreign language.
Yeah.
You know, foreign language in quotes had subtitles, and sometimes it didn't. So I didn't know if I was like getting inside knowledge that I shouldn't have. Not that it was much. It was tie them up.
There was some lines towards this end where the one weird guy is like talking to the Almighty or something, or after the Almighty gets killed or something like that. He yells something and there was no subtitles. So I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
Yeah. The second subtitle that came up to me was just quote unquote shouting.
Yeah.
Like again, I'm like, I know that. What are they saying?
Well, yeah. Okay. I will say there's a difference between closed captions and subtitles.
True.
Right. Yes. So if you're watching with closed captions, it's going to describe the sounds to you because it's assuming that you can't hear anything. Versus subtitles, which would just be dialogue.
However, someone who can't hear anything could still see the action, the mouth open, and can assume this character is shouting, though.
And because then I thought, I agree with Chrissy, so I was like, okay, I'm going to give them a little bit of a break.
Sure.
And I'm going to say, okay, so then there was a dialogue scene that came up. This is the third thing. Okay. I've had closed captioning on at this point for less than 60 seconds. A dialogue scene comes up, and I'm like, well, all right, now I'm going to get some help. All closed captioning said was, quote, chatter.
Yeah.
That's all it said. So to me, I'm like, great. So the closed captioning people are having the same issues I am. No one can understand what is being said. The audio quality is so poor.
I always love when it's indistinct chatter.
Yes.
When that comes up on closed captioning.
Yeah. Terrible.
So at some point here, so the girl has been given to the Almighty or something, right? Like he's their property now, or she's their property.
The grunting slaver, the head guy slaver, actually went and bought her.
Right, that's what I mean, because she's theirs now, but he like buys her back or something.
She was just a normal slave. She was like giving other slaves water or something like that, and then the lead slaver buys her back so that he can own her.
Yeah.
And
from the Egyptians.
From the,
So he can have his way with her.
Right. So he's like, he's with her in some tent or something, and he's like putting moves on her. And he's like, hey,
that's
I freed you.
Yeah.
And she like grabs his knife from his belt and is about to stab him.
Like
and then
with vocal voice box changes in their throats.
And then the Egyptians bust in with his number two, who's always unhappy with him because of something he had done before. And they take him away.
Throughout the movie, the number two guy kept trying to to rape her. And the other guy said, no, I want to rape her. You can't rape her. So they fought the whole time about that. So then the number two guy ratted him out for buying her.
Yeah.
Here's a question.
He saw him buying her.
Here's a question. And I'm not approving of this plan in any way. I'm just putting it out there is from this villain standpoint.
Yeah.
Why didn't the head slaver guy just kill the number two guy went during the months of walking, because that number two guy was clearly like out to get him.
Oh, he's threatened him, yeah.
And then just say to that lady, like, hey, you know what? Like, would you rather just be my wife than be a slave? Which seems like it would have avoided all of the problems that immediately hit them when they come to the pyramid.
That almost seemed like he's not a nice guy. I'm not defending him, right? But did to me seem like he was not wanting to rape her like the other slavers were. I think he really thought that he could win her over somehow and claim her as his wife in some kind of a barbaric fashion. Clearly not a right way to do it. No. But I think that she would have been better off with him than with any of the other slavers. And he was, even though for selfish reasons, he was in a way protecting her.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think
so this is why I said he was sympathetic, even though he's still a villain who deserves to die.
He basically could have said to her, like, would you rather be a victim of human trafficking or slavery?
Yeah.
You know, like, here are the choices on the table for this lady. It just was weird to me, because I'm like, this seems like this guy, it would essentially be like, if I brought a box of video games to Best Buy, and then we're like, okay, here's your box of video games, Best Buy. I just came across the country with these, and then I came back in the store and was like, I'd like to purchase this one. Why? Didn't I just be like, I'm keeping one for myself?
Because plot.
Yeah.
So the whole point is, they take him away, and then they notice on her hand the scars that which I didn't realize until Chrissy said earlier, were from the whipping.
Yes.
But the scars, apparently they shape the form of, like, the constellation Orion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is the hunter. So that's another prophecy, because it's foretelling the arrival of the hunter.
Because what we just learned in the scene before, DS has caught up and caught up to them, and he's talking with the slaves, and he learns from someone that used to be the Almighty's slave that only the one with the mark of the hunter can hurt them.
Can we talk about a great scene, too, when DS breaks into the jail?
Well, I was going to say, like, he's just going in and out of the slave camp will. It's like,
and that becomes a problem. So he just goes into the slave camp, and some of his friends are even, like, not thrilled to see him, understandably. Yeah. To say, oh, yeah, it is my mistake that got us into this terrible situation.
Yeah. We should say, too, by now, Wigdick is dead. He died alone.
No, Wigdick!
Yeah.
Well, how did he die?
He gets stabbed.
I'm going to tell you how he died, because I remember that.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
That's Tic Tac, right?
That's Tic Tac, So he goes into the jail. He says to his friends, yeah, it's been my mistake that got us in this terrible situation. He then just runs out of the jail like he's Henry Cavill in Cold Light of Day, making a huge spectacle.
Yeah.
Three guards are like, who are those guys? Literally running out, no stealth at all.
Right.
Yep. They follow them, and like it becomes a huge problem. Like this guy literally just had to apologize for his friends for being an idiot. Is an idiot again. And in fact, in a surprised way, announced, they found us. Like, yeah, they found you, you dumbass. Like, you just came like barreling out of a jail like an idiot.
And in the ensuing fight, Tic Tac is killed.
Yeah. He is 100% responsible for Tic Tac's death.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's,
So then they go back and once again just get into the slave camp or whatever. They're just like, it's very
easy. None of the slaves can get out.
It's a real open door policy.
Right. So they get in, as they're building the pyramids or whatever, and they like bury their spears and stuff, and they're getting ready for attack. And they just kind of join in with the slaves.
Right.
And nobody notices all these people just like walking into the slave line. And it's just chaos somehow breaks
out. Well, they do, because DS is.
I didn't understand what was happening here, what the plan was.
It's pretty dumb, because their big plan is to start a mammoth stampede, which is supposed to kind of be a callback to the start of the movie.
Yeah.
Because they have to work together.
They have to work together.
To hunt the mammoth.
To hunt the mammoth.
Which, by the way, how are woolly mammoths surviving in the heat of the desert?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Doing manual labor?
Yeah. There's no way.
I don't know.
I hope the ancient aliens really brought a massive water pumping system. So they do cause an elephant jailbreak, and mayhem breaks loose. It's like everything's going crazy. So at some point, like, the alien / almighty, like, the people running, the middle managers of this, like, pyramid operation are basically, like...
The priest guys are, like, the middle managers, I think.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. They go to the alien, they're like, oh, everything's going crazy. And so the alien is like, oh, okay, bring out this prophecy lady and threaten to kill her. Which works, because DS is like, whoa, everyone stop this revolution. That's my girlfriend.
Right. And they basically tell him, if you turn around and leave now, you can take the girl and your people.
And what do you think? And I'm like, what's DS going to say? And by the way, he's got all these other tribes here, and they're like, hey, if you leave now, you can take one. And DS is like, I accept.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, not only does Translator Guy understand his own tribe and English, he also understands these priests.
Yes. Right.
Because he's translating for the priests that he's never met before.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Translating, so, and looking at DS like, what the hell? You want me to say what?
He is looking at DS like, you're a jackass, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So DS accepts this offer, and I think he accepted it genuinely. And he then, after accepting it, is like
4 seconds later.
Hey, wait, what happens to these other people?
And it dawns on him. It's not like it was a wink, I've got a plan.
Right.
Right. And he's like, oh, these other people are still going to be slaves? Oh, sorry, I misunderstood the offer. To which point...
No takesies backies.
Yeah, the alien gentleman, like, I think it was pretty clear. I can't help it.
Except you and your people.
Yeah.
And the girl.
So... And let's talk about if DS might not be the dumbest character in this movie. Like, let's think about this from the alien's perspective. You know that there is, apparently everything in this movie is governed by prophecies. There's a prophecy that this hunter is the one who can kill you.
Except this prophecy doesn't make sense because the one with the mark of the hunter, which, by the way, mythology-wise, that's a whole different issue. But the one with the mark of the hunter is the girl.
Right. I thought the girl was... I actually thought this movie was going to take a mildly cool twist and that actually the girl...
Was going to kill him.
Was going to kill him. Yeah. And the girl was going to be like, no, I'm going to save myself and I'm going to save these people.
They would have given her something to do.
That's true.
Yeah,
that would have given her...
damsel.
She would have been running and screaming.
Yeah. And they don't... But, you know, either way, the alien has been informed, like, hey... Okay, the girl who had that prophecy that you're so... Or there's a girl with that prophecy you're so afraid of, that the mark of the hunter. If you're that alien, you'd be like, okay, lock it down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just kill her. Lock it down. Instead, the alien decides that's the perfect time to make a public appearance and go talk to the person that you believe to be the hunter who can kill you. Why doesn't that alien just like, hey, kill that guy?
Right. Well, I don't know if the alien really knew that the guy... could kill him, because again, the girl is the one with the mark.
But they kept saying the hunter is coming.
Like, yeah, that's true.
The mark means the hunter is coming.
Not so necessarily the person with the mark is the hunter.
Except originally, the slaves weren't going to follow DS because he didn't have the mark.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The third prophecy
makes no
sense.
This is what happens when you have three prophecies at the same time. They sort of cancel each other out. There's a little cross-prophecination there.
Honestly, yeah. I think the guy that speaks to Speartooth was the best prophecy of all three.
And I thought at this point we'd hit peak craziness in this movie, but we then get into it.
Oh, so, no. So it's DS, gonna get so much better.
It gets so crazy. DS throws a spear into the alien, and like we were saying earlier, like it's kind of like a older, just white dude with again a goatee.
And there's like a fly sound implying that he's just immortal, I guess.
Yeah.
Because flies instantly appear the second someone dies.
Just vultures flying from the air.
It's also possible that he is another victim of the Amityville house curse. I don't know, we did see a fly.
I thought I could get away.
I was waiting for, you know, the veil to fall and it to be some sort of actual reveal, but...
Or even an alien. Why doesn't this film just hold up under its own logic?
Omar Sharif.
That would have been a cool twist. Yeah. If the film is going to present that aliens built the pyramids thing, that's okay, then stick with it. And have like the veil blow up and have everyone be like, and have it be like some weird creature.
But they don't, they do. That's where I say they even kind of like crap on their own theory by then just having it be like a white dude. And it's like, so wait, what are you saying? Like,
and it doesn't really say anything because it doesn't really let you know if he is an alien or if he is from Atlantis or if he is just somehow a white dude in Egypt.
Yeah, I never took it that way.
Or someone who
in my head the whole time was just humans.
The Wizard of Oz type thing.
They were using the aliens thing to or whatever, the mystery to scare these people into doing what they're doing.
I mean, interesting maybe theory this movie posits is that this dude with white privilege had time travel. I don't know. Like, you know, it's... Yeah. Yeah.
He fulfilled his own another prophecy.
He was like, as a prophecy, I'm a older white dude.
Yes.
Look, I'm in charge here.
So
it's written on that rock over there.
Yeah.
The crew for this movie and the crew for Gods of Egypt got together and said white people must be the ones in charge in Egypt.
Yes.
Or, you know, the only ones if you're watching Gods of Egypt.
Right. So now the main slaver grabs the lady and is taking off with her on horseback.
Yes.
And DS is like, oh no, that guy's getting away really fast. And then there's kind of a cool thing where the lady saves, like she stabs the slaver guy and causes the horse to crash. And I'm like, oh, all right.
She, well, that was a third attempt that she made to steal his knife and or steal something and stab him.
That's true.
She finally got
it. Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
Yeah. First successful one. And she, and I thought she killed him. And I'm like, oh, okay. But not only did she not kill him, she barely wounded him because he just immediately launches an arrow into her.
This is where I was confused, because this shot of the slaver firing the arrow is the shot they showed when Omar Sharif at the beginning of the movie said that her village was killed, that her family was killed.
I don't remember that.
It showed that shot because I was wondering, hey, is that like the footage of like her village being destroyed? Is that going to be important? Well, and at the end of the movie, it's the same shot. And I was like, oh, never mind. It was foretelling
her death. But there was stuff with that old woman, the old
mother.
There was stuff with her where they kept showing like her her visions, whatever. And there was stuff that was like going to happen.
Yeah.
There was a few. So that might have been what that was.
Maybe that's what that was.
Because there's one where like she sees like a saber-toothed tiger jump out or whatever. And then it's like the next scene is saber-toothed tiger.
Okay, so that must be what that was.
Well, and as we're going to get into, I don't understand the old woman storyline.
She like feels cold when they're cold. She feels pain when they're in pain. Right. It's like she's psychically linked to them somehow.
But she also seems to have other like powers. I don't like or.
Well, this obviously she's got this foretelling ability. She's clairvoyant.
Well, that the voiceover in the beginning explained that she is the only one left that can still communicate with the old spirits.
Yeah.
So it's just. Same amount of logic as the rest of the movie.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess that's what... but it's just... Right, I should... Yeah, applying logic to any of this is... The real problem is with us trying to apply logic to it.
It's our fault.
We have to get to the best.
Okay, so yeah, so she... DS then goes and kills the main slaver. And DS's buddy from the other tribe gets to throw a spear through the really bad slaver in... Sort of a weird thing.
Because he was going to kill one of the kids.
But he missed first. Like, that's another thing of like, is this supposed to be comedy? He misses.
Well, the kid misses. And then, because it's the tribe leader's son.
Yeah, that's
right. So the other kid, like, throws one and misses. So then he's like, oh, and I'm just going to kill a kid. And that's when the other spear comes in and it's his father.
Yeah, the translator guy kills that guy.
Yeah.
Well, so.
We need to break down
the sequence of
what we're about to see. Well, what we're
skipped over one tiny thing, because we talked about, so the slaver shoots an arrow as the girl is running towards DS, hits the girl in the back. You see DS catch her and, like, cry a little bit. And then the very next cut, he's walking. Like, you don't see him put her down or anything like that. He's walking towards the slaver guy. I'm sorry, but isn't it first more important to... Hold the woman you love.
Vengeance
first.
Got to kill that mofo. Come on, he killed his woman.
There were a lot of cuts like that in the movie.
Vengeance right there.
Where they seemed to cut like important parts of sequences out.
Yeah,
it was oddly cut in some spots.
After he kills the slaver, then he goes back and holds her and says his goodbyes. And they have
that tender moment instead of the tender moment. Yeah, that's pretty. And he's got to get that revenge.
And we're going to have to, this is the next like minute of the movie. We almost have to go moment by moment on because. I know I've said this before, but I think this sequence might be... It's in the top five of the craziest sequences in a movie that we've seen. It's right there with Nick Cage in a bear suit in The Wicker Man in terms of, like, you're trying to be like, what is happening?
And at the end of the day, it's like, why did it happen? Like, why not just have it not happen?
Yeah.
Why just have her not killed?
Not die, yeah.
Yeah.
So she dies, and I thought, okay, that's interesting. They killed her off after all this stuff.
I
wasn't
expecting it, yeah.
You know, maybe he learned some lesson out of her or something, or, you know I mean? But, of course, it didn't go that way.
And DS walks away.
Because, again, just put her down and walk away.
Puts her down, like, basically...
And there's no reason why he's walking away here.
I don't know.
He walked away the first time.
He needs to be alone.
He walked away the first time to wait to kill the guy who killed his girlfriend.
And
the second time...
Let's try to describe what happens. He walks away, and in a shot, because after the mammoth jailbreak, like, there's mammoths walking around, a mammoth stops, looks at him.
Yes.
DS looks at the mammoth. It is implied that communication is going on between them.
It's very strongly implied.
Yeah, I don't know why else they would show the mammoth.
I mean, he's
like looking at
him. They cut back and forth. it's cut like a dialogue
it
scene.
It is.
And at the same time, we're also cutting back to the old woman in the old mother in the village.
Yeah. I don't know if she's using the mammoth to.
I think she was psychic. I think she was psychically. I think Cody's right. I think she was psychically linked to the mammoth and was communicating to him through the mammoth. Instead of communicating directly to him.
I can tell you, nothing came up in closed captions good. For any sort of
there wasn't
communication between
like mammoth
ESP
yeah. didn't come up.
So we're thinking that the old mother is through the mammoth is saying, hey, DS, it's me, old mother. I'm speaking through this mammoth. You get it, right? So I, the old mother, am about to kick it. So I'm going to send my life force across the globe to
or maybe two square blocks of a map away.
You don't really know.
We don't know. Yeah, maybe, don't know. They could be walking in a circle for all we know.
It might be 5 miles. It could be across continents.
Yeah.
But that's what's going on, right?
As stupid as the sequence was, if they were so in love with it, they had to have it in the movie. Would it not have made more sense for this connection to be the saber-toothed tiger?
Yes.
But
yes.
The saber-toothed tiger to be there would have been ridiculous.
Well, the saber-toothed tiger could jump in and kill the slaver.
But it would have followed them from
maybe
China
he befriends it. It becomes like a Game of Thrones thing. Like,
when he
like
first,
his dire wolf.
Yeah, when he first saved the saber-toothed tiger, I really thought that this saber-toothed tiger was going to become like his pet for the rest of the movie right. and was going to... No.
I was shocked that the saber-toothed tiger never came back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
He just had to fulfill a prophecy. Yeah.
I guess it's all
Or if they had done a thing where like throughout the movie, the old mother had been... keeping an eye on them through animals or something, or having some psychic link through an animal to him or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where it established that there's a thing she was doing or could do.
Right.
The voiceover was saying something at this point too, but now I don't remember what it was because I was so distracted by the mammoth.
I was trying to listen to it. I couldn't. It was like a word salad. Like it didn't.
Yeah.
It was saying
something about how just as the legend, or just as the child with the blue eyes was ending, her legend was just beginning or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something like that.
But right. I don't feel like the voiceover really mentioned the mammoth at all.
No.
Like,
no, it did.
The
it
audio
did
and the visual did
I,
not
I wonder if there was
that.
Just some sort of, maybe they were attempting, albeit a rather poor way, the connection of like, you know, man and beast, the respect between the hunter and the hunted kind of thing.
Well, that's
but
what
no,
my...
But he learns no lesson from this connection.
That's
He's
what my,
simply hunting to survive.
Well, my other thought was that there was no connection and it was just like some weird moment that they put in like that, like some
it could have started playing
life goes on moment or something. I don't know. But it does, it causes him to turn around and run back to her, and that's when she comes back to life.
And he's real excited when he's going back to
her.
Like
yeah, he goes back to her like he knows what's about to happen, but he's like picked her up again and holding her because he keeps putting her down and running away and coming back and picking her up. Yeah. He's picked her up again and is holding her when she breathes.
Right.
Damn.
So it was like the mammoth said, hey, turn around, your girlfriend's going to come back to life. It's okay.
Like, what are you doing?
I feel like the mammoth said, hey, man, could you also lay off? You've killed like... 50 of my friends.
Do you think maybe the scene was re-edited? And that maybe there's some stuff that didn't make it in the final cut that could have made this more...
I'm assuming this whole movie was re-edited and there were things that might have made more sense.
I think something happened with this scene in post. Something, maybe originally there was no mammoth psychic
maybe
conversation.
Maybe it was her. Maybe she appeared in a vision, like translucent, like mother floating above him and said something to him.
I almost wonder if originally this was just like... the two of them, she was dying, and then we were cutting to the old mother.
Would have been better.
And that when people watched the cut, maybe they were like, what happened? Now, why their answer was, have a mammoth psychically tell them that, I don't know how that helped anything.
Especially
but
since they added
the
voiceover to
already.
Specifically say that the old mother gave her last breath.
I mean, I'd say the solution made things worse than the problem.
They should have implied that Omar Sharif was the mammoth, and I saved the girl's life, and the mammoths were spared because now they could grow corn, even though that's a new world crop. Dun, dun, dun! And the mammoth like crosses over the hill into the sunset.
And so
it's just at the end of it, I was like, why just not have her again, just not die and then just move on.
Yeah. And just move on. Just
3-4 or 5 minute sequence where it's just
an insane sequence. Yeah. So then it's like, okay, movie's over.
Well,
and,
I left. I was saying to Chris earlier, I left because they're like, now, you know, they turn back, you know, they say goodbye to like the translator and his tribe. And then, you know, the voiceover is like, they had a long journey back, and then it's like cut, and they're like, hey, they're home.
They're
it's
home.
Like they couldn't even show like two, you know, shots of them walking through the desert and back to the jungle. Before. And yeah.
Say goodbye to each tribe as they drop them off their respective homeland. Yeah.
And the translator also gave them some seeds.
Yeah, because DS Senior had collected those seeds.
Right. On his journey.
And so that was what he was supposed to bring back.
So these seeds have to be like...
But there's several years clearly, there are clearly corn kernels in that bag.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Corn 100. Is not... It's a new world crop.
I thought it was candy corn at first.
Yeah. If you bring me a corn kernel from what, 13 years ago, not going to go well for a farmer.
No.
But then, so this is where I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. So
these are 10,000 moons old.
Yeah. So his tribe had no farming prior to getting these seeds, is what they're saying.
They're hunter-gatherers,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, how was there even an old woman in their village? How did anyone make it past, like, 14?
Especially since the slavers stole all their meat when they took the people, so now they have no able-bodied men to hunt and no food.
Not to mention that their best soil is solid rock and a layer of some snow and maybe moss.
They live at the top of Mount Everest, basically.
Yeah, it's real crazy.
It would make more sense if they left that cold, barren waste and settled in a new land that was fertile and lush and green.
But the rainforest isn't good enough. You got to keep moving to the desert.
Gotta live in the desert.
But where they're hunting the mammoth, it seemed better.
I guess they went to a lower elevation to hunt the mammoths.
It didn't seem like that. It was that far from the tribe.
No. And they didn't. Why they're living there on a snowy mountain. Plants there. Like I'm just kind of mystified. Where how were they like? Oh, you can put something in the ground and it grows. Like I mean, I feel like they had to be aware of this concept. All right. So I have a funny. I'm gonna read a loved it review I came across.
I love these.
But let's do a quick. Just while I cue this up, is it so bad it's good, Cody? What do you think?
No, I. While watching the movie, I was thinking there's a lot going on in this movie, but it's like one of the most boring movies that I've watched for this podcast. It was just so dull. I didn't enjoy it at all.
Jack, what do you think?
When I first saw it in the theater, I was hoping for...
Keep dropping that little...
I'm legit, guys.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a movie that was literally just an intense action movie about... And it done in a different way about wilderness survival 10,000 years ago with like, you know, 10,000 BC, more than 10,000 years ago, there was a, you know, with like, you know, anthropological and archaeological and, you know, accuracies in it and just kind of like, it wasn't. It was just a dumb movie about, you know, guy has to go on a journey to save his woman and, by the way, Egypt. And I was like, okay, this is not cool. So I'm going to say no.
For a movie that's called 10,000 BC, it could have happened any time before the digital age. Like, it could have been, not the digital age, I guess, before the Middle Ages, I should say.
This arguably could have been the 1600s.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's nothing, I mean, aside from, okay, making the pyramids, but that wasn't 10,000 BC anyway. Like, it was really just a wilderness trek to go save your girlfriend and, you know, defeat the evil warlord that could have been at any point.
The evil old white guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there could be elements to make it so bad it's good, but not really.
It's really just a lot of the end, I feel like, that's so bad it's good. I mean, just it's almost like...
Well, they're ridiculous moments, clearly.
Yeah, I mean, if you could... The psychic mammoth scene, if you could just watch, like, the 5 minutes around the psychic mammoth is... But a lot of the rest of it is just bad. I don't know. I mean, I did laugh a fair amount at the stupidity of the main character, but
I don't think you were supposed to. Right.
I know, I don't think you're supposed to.
I want to say, too, it's pretty impressive that we've made it this far without you mentioning who directed this movie, because I know you hate...
I hate Roland Emmerich so much. As I was watching it, I'm like, how have more of his movies not been on this podcast? I mean, he was M. Night Shyamalan before there was M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, he's like a Uwe Boll with a better visual sense, you know? I mean, the guy's terrible. That just brings me down. I thought he produced it. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize till I got to the end of the movie that he actually directed it. And I was like, oh, God, that guy
should have known.
Gets me every time. All right, so let's do a quick loved it. This is from IMDb. 10 out of 10 review.
Wow.
Titled, Very Good Movie.
Very descriptive title.
Yeah. With in parentheses, I don't know why it is so go rated. Loved this movie. It is about the ancient time when superstition was at its peak. ... Movie is really good. I watched it twice. Such movies show us how we developed our traditions, how man tries to hold the world in his hand, how man makes others who do not belong to his race as his slaves, everything depicted in a single movie. The tiger and the chickens used in this movie are really fantastic.
Where are chickens?
I don't know. That is one of the hardest turns in any review I've ever read.
Does he mean the big bird things?
I think he does.
Does that give him that much credit?
Yeah. All right. And I'm going to read one more here. Okay. Another 10 out of 10. Titled Wonderful Sci-Fi Movie.
I don't know that I'd call this sci-fi.
I love this movie. No, it is not really as good as True Grit or I Remember Mama. What? If those are your points of reference for all movies, it makes a lot more sense. But I thoroughly enjoyed myself this evening. It is not a historical narrative of the world as we know it. Neither is Star Wars, and everyone loves that.
Okay.
It is unfortunate that they named it 10,000 BC because of the implication that this was Earth. For all
that explains the geography. It's not Earth.
There you go.
Yeah. Really, there were no major holes in the plot. No, oh my God, moments. But I liked Battlestar Galactica and Star Trek, so sue me.
Okay. I love how all of the other properties mentioned in that review have nothing to do with 10,000 BC in any way, shape, or form, except they are motion picture / television things.
Yeah. And last one, 10 of 10, surprisingly good. I went in expecting a bomb because of all the rumors that this film would be awful. I only went because the Norton Kids movie was so politically correct. I don't know what movie he's talking about. Is he talking about American History? I don't even know what he's talking about. Ed Norton, right? I think so. I don't know why you would reference it as an Ed Norton movie, but I bet he's talking about the Orlando Bloom movie directed by Kingdom of Heaven. I bet he's talking about Kingdom of Heaven.
Okay.
I don't know why he's...
That's really
crazy. I could not take it, so we changed theaters. That turned out to be a lucky switch. This film, 10,000 BC, started out a little odd.
Yeah, a little bit.
And seemed like there would be no story, and some of the lead characters seemed pretty strange. You know what? If he put a period on the end of the review right there, he'd be fine. But the film slowly picked up steam. It has a real story that draws the audience in. And there was no heckling in the showing I attended.
That is a very low bar.
That's a pretty low bar.
That's amazing.
This movie's super... it's bad. Okay. Yeah. It's bad. Yeah. I don't...
It
wow.
Is. I mean, it's just not... It just... Why did they make it? It's just... Did it even make its money back? I don't know.
I doubt it. There's no big... As I was watching this movie, I kind of thought that there's an interesting idea of if they made a movie that had almost no dialogue about prehistoric times, like almost like The Revenant style, but you were, you know, and it was just like a simple story that was all told through visuals.
The first hour of 2001, Space Odyssey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like maybe that would have been an interesting movie where like the characterization all came from just like what you were seeing on screen.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if it would be broad mass appeal.
Correct.
But it would have been, I think, a fantastic like art film.
Would have been
like,
really.
Here's like a deep movie like about like life in that time.
In that sense. And that's not what this movie did, but it's like it's in the worst possible situation of like it's halfway between a real movie and that. Mm-hmm. And it's just then becomes so clunky that I don't know. This is I can't believe I should look up Roland Emmerich's IMDb page. I hope he hasn't made any movies since this. I hope nobody gave him the keys to
2012 is when his, right?
Oh, you're right. So yeah. he has. Yeah. You're right. Wow. So somebody, some studio executive watched this movie and said, I think he's got another one in him. Well, and actually, he made the Independence Day sequel, right?
Did he do that one?
I'm pretty sure he did. Right. Yeah.
So, I haven't seen it yet. But.
Yeah, there's no stopping him. watch at your own risk.
Yes.
I think that brings this one to a close. Any other final thoughts on this? Anyone want to...
The mythology geek in me was just
pissed off.
Very unhappy for a few things.
Because it does also leave... The movie leaves the question open of how did the other pyramids get built? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't say... So it says, like, this one pyramid was stopped, but, like, they're just, like... No work proceeded as planned and all the others?
Well, this was like 8,000 years before the pyramids were actually built, so maybe somebody else came.
Yeah, that's true. The alien guy actually was a really prescient developer who's like, I got to get in on this before any more of these get built. I don't want this, supply is going to, I don't want there to be more supply than demand for these.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Has to get it done before the mammoths go extinct.
Yeah, before we run out of mammoths. Yeah. All right, so we'll be back next time with more fun, more games, more hilarity. And as always, like our Facebook page. And sure. You can get our older episodes at stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com.
We did get a message this week. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I did.
Where someone said, you guys should do Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Like, so I sent back the link to the...
Yeah, it is, because some of the really...
It was like the 16th episode or something.
I meant to mention it when we did the 150th Spectacular. Like, some of the episodes we referenced, you can't get on iTunes anymore, but they're all...
If you go to the website, they're
all
there.
Yeah, yeah. Stopthemoviepodcast.podbean.com. They're all there. Do some of the older episodes have questionable audio quality at times? Huh. Yeah, well, you know, hey, we have a better mixer now, but
we still have questionable audio because Jack is blowing it out.
Sorry. I just won't talk next time.
wouldn't it be so weird if we had Jack here for an episode and he didn't talk? He wasn't allowed to.
We can hire the translator guy.
Oh.
And the translator guy can speak for Jack.
That would be fun.
It would be.
Yeah. For that translator guy. All right, we will be back next time. All right, bye.